Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow in the studio. Another nice day in the Capital District. Yesterday, when we started a handicappers report, Anthony Mormino started by talking about how nice it was. And worth talking about yesterday, because there was like a week and a half where where'd spring and summer go? It was a little chilly around here. And I had texted back and forth with someone working on the backstretch at Churchill a few days ago. And she was talking about how hot it is down there. And clearly, because Indianapolis, the Horseshoe at Indiana, I guess I'm going to have to get that in my brain. But they had canceled a couple days a week and a half or so ago, and Churchill had canceled a couple and then had adjusted post times to the Midwest. And for us up here, we were looking at those temperatures and thinking, really? Because up here, it was a little bit chilly and fall-like past week or so. But then it turned yesterday. Nice day yesterday here in the Capital District. Supposed to be a nice day today. And middle of the day, I texted somebody yesterday and said, hope you're out on the lake and, you know, enjoying the warm temperature. I'm assuming it's warm because I can only guess when I'm in the TV studio. We have a thermometer on the clock here. It was 62 degrees in here yesterday. So if during the afternoon show my hands or lips turn blue, that's why. So I am not in danger of getting overheated on hot days in the studio, no question about it. But hopefully you're not in danger of that either. Hopefully the game plan is to sit by the pool in the afternoon, maybe hook up the barbecue, push the big TV out by the family room sliding doors, and watch us all afternoon and enjoy racing again on the Sunday afternoon. Hopefully that was the game plan yesterday, because it was a nice day of racing yesterday, really across the country. Yesterday, John Piasek was in. He writes about racing on America's Best Racing, their website, and also does some handicapping and writing for Frank Vespi in the Racing Biz. We were also joined by Ellis Starr, the national racing analyst for Equibase. Both of them took a look at the Ohio Derby, and John had looked at a couple other races on the card and had a couple of nice opinions. Ellis as well. Ellis, though, took a look at Thistledown, but also took a look at some of the other stakes action. He looked at Monmouth as well, and his horse at Monmouth turned out to be the right idea. And so he also gave out some nice opinions, as usual. So it's fun to have those guys on, but we were talking a little bit of the Ohio Derby and the undercard, as well as some of the other stakes, because it was a kind of a fun stakes day yesterday. Next week, Stephen Foster's next week, right, Dan?
Yeah,
next week, Stephen Foster. So looking forward to that. Life is Good is coming up. We always talk about the lull between the Belmont Stakes and Saratoga. But I always know there is from the mindset when Belmont gets over, we start getting ready for Saratoga. But there is some nice racing in between, and yesterday had some of that. So as usual on a Sunday, let's take a look at some of the action from yesterday. And again, some of these races will clearly play into Saratoga. We'll see some of these horses up at Saratoga, and that is sure to be the case for the Mother Goose. It was a short field, unfortunately, a grade two with $250,000 up for grabs. And after a scratch, only four were in the gate. But it was a salty field. I like Juju's Map. I didn't think Juju's Map was necessarily invincible. I had Gerrymander right underneath and Shahama in the third spot. I thought those horses were both playable. And I wasn't disregarding the New York bred Venti Valentine, who's had a nice little career as well. Shahama and Venti Valentine were both coming out of tries, you know, not inspiring necessarily, but tries in the Kentucky Oaks. Juju's Map had a seasonal debut at Churchill that seemed to indicate she was coming back as a three-year-old as well as she ran last year as a two-year-old. And Gerrymander is a horse I've liked throughout the career. Her three-year-old comeback at Churchill, though, and the Eight Bells kind of left you a little bit suspect. But, you know, it's Chad Brown. It's Chad Brown Klarovich, a horse that had shown plenty of talent as a two-year-old. So, again, I had that one right underneath, and I've liked Gerrymander throughout the career. I will say yesterday on the handicapper support. Anthony Mormino said Gerrymander was his favorite horse on the card. And it's nothing like having your favorite horse win at 6-1. And win like this, where you're not really sweating at all. Gerrymander, the number 4 horse, Joe Rosario on board, getting it done again as the third choice in a field of 4 at 6-1. $15 on Gerrymander. Shahama runs second. Juju's Map disappoints a little bit, running third in there as the 1-2 favorite. Now, subsequently after the race, Chad Brown, trainer of Gerrymander, was talking about the filly and saying, you know, this one's a sibling to Lone Rock. And if the name rings a bell, but you're not familiar necessarily, Lone Rock is that long-winded horse that I'm pretty sure it's Deodoro now. They picked up the horse a year and a half or so ago and started going in some marathon races, and he's just been phenomenal in those. And Chad said, cool horse and can run all day. And being related to that one, Gerrymander shouldn't have any problem, you know, stretching out. And so he said, Alabama is in our sights up at Saratoga. Just have to kind of figure out, excuse me, where to go in the meantime. But it was a nice, certainly a nice run from Gerrymander yesterday in the Mother Goose. Again, short field in there, but I looked earlier and I hadn't seen any update. I was going to look again, but I've already checked this morning the usual suspects for updated buyer figures from yesterday. I got one or two, but it didn't seem like most of them were out yet. So we'll keep our eyes open for those as we move forward. But it was a good-looking performance, certainly. As they say, if you had the horse in the stretch, you were not sweating for Gerrymander. A little bit earlier on the card, starting the good stakes day at Belmont for Chad Brown, the Wild Applause, $100,000 up for grabs for the 3-year-old fillies going a mile on the grass. And unfortunately, this one also scratched down to a short field. This one is field of 4. After a scratch. I liked Eminent Victor in here. Eminent Victor went off as the second choice at 8-5. Chad Brown runner making the seasonal debut, and Eminent Victor is the number 5 horse in here, and you get a nice run in the Michael Dubb colors there. Oakhurst 1 runs second, number 4 Breeze Easy third. Breeze Easy, the 4 horse, was the 6-5 favorite, but again, a nice little run here. You had a feeling that the one Oakhurst, as they pulled away from the favorite, went past the 4, you had a feeling on the outside, man, maybe the 1 is going to have more momentum. But Eminent Victor looked good. That showed a little oomph and heart in there. Wouldn't let that one get by. Flavian Pratt on board, again, for Chad Brown. It was Chad Brown running 1-2 there. He also trained Oakhurst. But Eminent Victor, 3 starts now, 2 starts last year as a 2-year-old, started the career in another barn and broke the maiden out at Arlington on the synthetic last July. Came back in September and ran in the Grade 1 Natalma. So clearly they were impressed enough by that debut to jump right into a Grade 1 and ran an okay third in there. Then they went to the sidelines and came back. That was the seasonal debut, as I say. And you would have to think this one, you know, being Chad Brown, Michael Dubb and company, keep your eyes open for Eminent Victor up at Saratoga. I think that is very, very, very likely. All right, let's move on now and take a look at the Goldwood. That was Monmouth Stakes race yesterday. They had a nice full field in here, as opposed to those two we looked at, which had shorter fields. This one wound up after scratches a field of 10. It was a turf sprint, 5.5 furlongs, $100,000 up for grabs. These are fillies and mares. I like Champagne Lady, Shug McGahee runner, although I said cutting back and also being stuck in the outside post, that little dog leg, I wasn't sure whether those things were going to be beneficial. Champagne Lady went off as the third choice at 9. Yeah, third choice at 9-2 and ran out 8th in the field of 10. So that wasn't, you know, again, the things going against went against. But the number 6, Bout Time, Ellis Starr yesterday, like Bout Time, 4-1 on the morning line, but the betting public also like Bout Time, went off at 2-1 as the favorite. Honey Pants runs second. And Robin Sparkles. Robin Sparkles is a nice horse for Bruce Brown. We've talked about that one with Bruce up at Saratoga last summer, I think. But can run dirt or turf. I thought on the numbers, at least the most recent numbers, maybe she was a little slow. But a nice New York bred, Robin Sparkles. Top of the stretch, it looked like 5-1, Robin Sparkles may be in a good spot, having led most of the way around, but just got caught late. But did wind up third. So there's another nice run for Robin Sparkles. I mean, she's approaching $500,000. Again, nice little New York bred in Bruce Brown barn. But it was about time. Cherie DeVoe, and Ellis mentioned he liked Cherie DeVoe as a trainer. And I said yesterday I had her on really early in her career because I'm almost positive the morning we had her on at Saratoga, that afternoon she missed by that much, which I'm pretty sure was going to be the first victory of her career. And she literally got nipped. I thought the TV show was going to bring her a little luck. And then she was kind of slow to get started, but boy, over the past year and a half, couple of years, she has really become a notable trainer, and horses like this can only help that. About time, it was the fifth career start, it was the third career win, it was a stakes debut, and she gets it done yesterday in the Goldwood, again, as the 2-1 favorite. Kind of surprising. And again, 4-1 on the morning line. And the morning line, she would have been at 4-1. 4-1, she was the co-choice on the morning line with Honey Pants. And those two went off pretty close. So morning line was a little generous, but the morning line had it right that those were the two horses because they went off at 2-1. They both went off at 2-1. One was actually on the odds 2-1. The other one was 2.30, you know, $2.30 to a dollar. So they were close in the morning. They were close in the actual betting, as close as they were essentially on the morning line as well. But about time gets it done in the Goldwood at Monmouth Park. Shift our attention now to Churchill Downs, their feature yesterday. This was a fun little race as well. Field of seven in here, but it featured Sconston and Bells the One, Lady Rocket for Brad Cox, Penny Baker, who was coming off a nice United States debut at Laurel for Michael Stidham. Ellis yesterday liked Penny Baker. I had Penny Baker right underneath. I used Sconston. I've just always liked Sconston, and she was coming off a seasonal debut, a repeat in the winning colors a few weeks ago at Churchill. And I just thought that debut as a five-year-old indicated she's in good form. I'm going to go in that direction. But Lady Rocket for Brad Cox, you know, looking at the page, she had the potential to be the lone speed. That's the way it worked out. Lady Rocket's the number three horse, went out and set the early fractions, 22 and change, 45 and change, 109. Legit fractions. And you can see number seven, Sconston, top of the stretch was there and was making a move. And even here, you think maybe Sconson's going to have it. And then you realize, nah, Lady Rocket just has a little too much. Number four, Bells the One, runs third. So it was the horses, Penny Baker, amongst those horses you had to consider. Penny Baker went off as the second choice and winds up a little bit disappointing, running sixth in the field of seven. But the other three logicals were right there. With Lady Rocket getting it done over Sconston, over Bells the One. So it was a nice run from Sconston, certainly. But Lady Rocket looked pretty good. And again, sometimes you just have the pace scenario work out your way. This was her third start of the season. She had run fourth in the Madison to kick off the season over at Keeneland, then had run third in the Ruffian at Belmont last time. And comes back down to Churchill and wins the Chicago on the front end. Again, kind of dominating, kind of having it a little bit of a stranglehold pace-wise all the way around. Saw Brad Cox interviewed subsequently in the winner's circle. And, you know, he said, we'll see how the horse, the usual, we'll see how the horse comes out and that, those kind of things. But it sounded like potentially the Ballerina at Saratoga would be on the agenda. And as I say, you know, this time of year, trainers from various venues, if they have, if we're looking at stakes races and they have good stakes horses, Churchill or Saratoga is going to certainly be under consideration, and that's the fact with what we saw yesterday as well. We'll see how it turns out, but stakes-wise, I think it's turning out to have the potential to be a really good season for us up here. Also wanted to take, obviously, a look at some of the action yesterday from Thistledown because they had the Ohio Derby and there were some undercard stakes as well. We'll take a look at one of those undercard stakes. But let's start things out with the Ohio Derby. I liked Waito Barrio. I thought Waito Barrio was really impressive in the Florida Derby. Tawny Port was the horse that, if you were looking at social media over the past few days, was getting some support. And it looked like those were the two the race probably went through. Ethereal Road coming out of the win in the Sir Barton was certainly interesting. Barisi, the New York bred, I thought maybe had a little bit of intrigue as well. And I didn't know what to do with Classic Causeway. Off of the last two, the Florida Derby and the Kentucky Derby, and then changes barns, but boy, had looked so good in the Sam Davis win in the Tampa Bay Derby. So I wasn't quite sure what to do with Classic Causeway yesterday. I had Waito Barrio over Tawny Port. But Tawny Port, betting public said, let's make that one the favorite at $1.30 to $1. But at 3-2, Waito Barrio was the second choice. Waito Barrio, number five horse, was right there turning for home, but you could see Tawny Port had a little more momentum. And for a few strides here, you thought, man, Waito Barrio might come back. And then, no, Tawny Port going to get it done under Irod Ortiz. Tyler Gaffleon was on board Waito Barrio. Classic Causeway winds up running third at 6-1. So the two public choice, the public was right there. And that seemed to be the way it was playing out leading up to the race. Everybody was kind of saying, yeah, it's Waito Barrio or Tawny Port. Those were the two that took the action. They were very close in odds, and Tawny Port gets it done for Brad Cox. So we'll see. Tawny Port and Waito Barrio in, again, a three-year-old season that, as we've come out of the Triple Crown, talked a little bit about this with Ellis Starr yesterday, clearly nobody has a stranglehold on the division. Rich Strike, I think, is completely fluky, and normally the Kentucky Derby winner, In a year where it's a little bit undetermined, the Kentucky Derby winner would kind of be up the list. And as I said yesterday, I had pulled up the NTR 8 poll, and he was sitting, I think, sixth on the three-year-old poll. So clearly voters are not convinced off the Kentucky Derby victory and less convinced, I'm sure, after the Belmont Stakes performance. So we'll see what happens with him the rest of the year. But this is going to define clearly the remainder of the year, the summer probably in particular, with races coming up like the Haskell, the Jim Dandy, and the Travers. And then as those horses kind of you get one or two or three to pull away a little bit with victories in some of those races, then if they can show a little oomph against older horses later in the year, that'll be the deciding factor. But off of yesterday's performance in the Ohio Derby, again, Tawny Port and Waito Barrio are in that conversation. I mean, I think they have work to do, but they had enough earlier, had shown enough talent that if they can become players now in this latter half of the year, and I don't think that's totally out of the question, but as I say, I still think they probably have a little bit of work to do to make up ground on some of the Jack Christophers and the Epicenters in the division, but certainly it took a couple of steps with, I thought both of them ran. And Classic Causeway, I think, maybe gets back in the conversation. He off of those two poor performances, he may be in a third place. He probably has a little more work to do, but it'll be interesting to watch and see where they decide next for those three. A little bit earlier was the Lady Jacqueline. It was for fillies and mares, a mile and an eighth, and we had talked about this race a little bit yesterday, so I thought we'd pull up the replay there, because I thought Maracuja could be intriguing, given the Coaching Club American Oaks upset last year. I didn't think any of the horses in here, there were clearly a couple of talented horses, but not necessarily recently win machines, so I thought Maracuja was kind of intriguing. That one, however, wound up unfortunately getting vanned off, so we'll hope for the best for Maracuja. But Army Wife and Beautiful, Crazy Beautiful, were, it, as you looked at the resumes, the two most talented horses in the field, and that's the way it played out. Number six, Army Wife, at 6-5, winds up getting it done under Tyler Gaffleone. Crazy Beautiful, the Ken McPeak runner, winds up second in here. And again, if you looked at the resumes, they were the two most talented. As I say, it was just to me looked like, you know, they aren't necessarily in their recent races notable win machines. So I thought, it's a race where maybe you could take a little shot against. But talent was proved best in there, and the two most talented horses got it done. I would think with the with the second place purse for Crazy Beautiful, she goes over $1 million. Army Wife gets up close to, goes over 800,000. So again, a couple of nice 4-year-old fillies in Army Wife and Crazy Beautiful. And again, wouldn't be shocked to see one or the other of those wind up at Saratoga this season. All right, and finally, before I get to that, we have one more race. There was a nice 2-year-old from earlier this week that I wanted to show. But before we get to that, I wanted to go over the cross-country pick five, because it was a very hittable sequence yesterday. Started out with the Mother Goose, so he had gerrymandered $15. That was the longest price, but I thought she was very playable. I went too deep in that race and had her and Juju's Map. The Goldwood Bout Time was the favorite in a field of 10. The Lady Jacqueline Army Wife, the favorite in a field of 8. The Chicago at Churchill Downs, that was the one that kicked myself, because I went too deep in there. I had used Sconson and Penny Baker, and I had the winner, Lady Rocket, in the third spot, but I only went too deep in there. But at 960, Lady Rocket was the fourth choice in a field of 7. But as I say, I had her right in the third spot and just left her off the ticket. She was the only horse I left off the ticket. And then in the Ohio Derby, Tawny Port, the favorite in a field of 7. So you had three favorites. You had to get Gerrymander. You had to get Lady Rocket. Lady Rocket was the one that I kind of was kicking myself. But 50 cents, you got $788 back. So, again, a really playable sequence yesterday in the cross-country pick five. And a fun sequence, too, because you're not getting a lot of thistle down in these cross-countries. But with the two nice races, the Lady Jacqueline and the Ohio Derby, it was a fun addition to the sequence. And as I say, very playable, and you wound up with a decent little price there that could have been had for not an expensive ticket with the three favorites in the mix as well. As I say, I just kicked myself in my construction that I wasn't toss in the winner in the Chicago at Churchill Down. But that is horse racing. That's how we turn the page and hope the next ticket is constructed differently. There was a notable 2-year-old performance that had a little buzz on social media and whatnot. We'll see where this one goes. Certainly this time of year, 2-year-olds coming up to Saratoga, that's a possibility, but these aren't necessarily New York connections, so we'll see where they go. But at Churchill, going back just a couple of days, 3 days ago, maiden special weight, this horse for me was a move-up top pick. I had another horse on top, a Steve Asmussen first-time starter, that was a late scratch. I had this horse right underneath, the horse Armin by Bolt de Oro. And we've been saying it now for a while. Bolt de Oro has just been phenomenal out of the gate as a sire of debut or win early types. And keep that in mind as we get to Saratoga, because clearly there will be some Bolt de Oros debuting up there, but they've been very good. This just added to that nice resume he has so far. But Armin, the other day, they had paid over $600,000 at the March Ocala sale. He worked 9.4 before that sale. He went off as the 8-5 favorite. He's the number 12 here. He's going to win by a chart margin of 2.5. And as I say, folks on social media and whatnot were kind of looking at this and saying, pretty good looking performance. He does wind up with a 74 buyer. So the buyer doesn't necessarily jump off the page. And I think some of the other two-year-olds we've seen over the past month or so, to me, have been a little more impressive. Certainly on the number side of things have been a little more impressive. But it was a good-looking performance. It did have that win early breeding, lived up to it. Nice full field of 10. That's always notable, too. And he was on the outside at five furlongs. So it was definitely a nice performance. Again, I'm not sure I'm as impressed with that one as I have been with some of the other two-year-old wins over the past month, 5 weeks or so. But it was a nice one that we'll have to keep our eyes on. Armin going out at Churchill for Simon Callahan. In the career debut, a son of Bolte Oro, who, again, attracted a big price at Ocala March after a blazing 9.4 workout and lived up to the breeding and the workout and the price in the career debut at Churchill just 3 days ago. So we'll keep our eyes on that one as well. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little handicapping for this Sunday afternoon, maybe give you a little idea late pick five action, Belmont or Churchill or Monmouth. But I'll take a look and we'll dive in, give you some thoughts. I'll be back, of course, later this afternoon to live look. But we'll give you a little head start. And then a little bit later on, toss in some news from the past week and maybe look ahead. I pulled up the Saratoga stakes schedule. So maybe we'll all look at the first few days of stakes and just kind of get our get the excitement going a little, if it's not already. For most people that I've run into over the past couple of weeks, it already is. But we'll do that right after this. Racing Across America will continue. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku, try it now.
Birdstone is an outside.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB, become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Again, thanks for joining us. And as I said earlier, hopefully you enjoy the nice day. Don't forget, if you want to come down here to the Clubhouse Racebook today, we have a couple of promotions. There's the Knockout Challenge. There's the Match Bet promotion. You can come down and maybe have a little extra fun on a Sunday afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. I always say to remind occasionally for folks who have never been here, we're conveniently located. We're literally 2 minutes off of I-90. You hop off at Everett Road, head over to Central Avenue, take a left, and we're right in the next to ShopRite. So you will not miss us. But if you've never been to the Racebook, it's nice. Come grab a carol or sit at a table with your family or friends. Grab a little lunch down here. You can sit at the bar. The sports that are going on during the day are all on the TVs down on the end of the sitting area. So you can have a lot of fun down here and enjoy the air conditioning the way I am here in the studio. Although it's a little more moderate out there, I will say. It is very cool in the studio. It's comfortable out in the front half. So if you want to come down, we'd love to have you down here. Again, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. One of the tracks you'll be able to look at later this afternoon, Belmont Park. And again, I will be looking at that live on OTV Live later this afternoon. But why don't we take a look? And there aren't scratches out. I just did a quick check. No scratches yet. So again, we aren't putting an actual ticket together or anything, but maybe just run through the late pick five sequence at Belmont and get you thinking if that appeals to you. Or toss out some ideas that maybe you can make check marks if you've already handicapped. We're similar here, or there's another idea here. Fifth race this afternoon, conditional claimers going 7 on the grass. I have a 12, 10, 2, and 3. I thought the 8, get the candy, might be interesting as well. If you're going to use the 8 with the early speed and a little bit of a class move, the 8 is intriguing. That just missed my mix. But as I say, if you've handicapped already, you have the 8 in. I'm not really arguing with you. But I put my sweet wife on top. Goes out for Peter Walder, last seen down at Gulfstream early April. Just overall seems to pretty consistently fire very, very similar numbers. And they're numbers that match up pretty well with this bunch. The concern is going to be a little bit of a layoff since, again, April 1st. Workouts aren't necessarily indicating one way or the other. But it just seems, again, as though this horse, you know, had laid off from the end of January until that April race. So that was a couple of months on the sidelines, and the April race was pretty good. So we'll look for this one to come back ready to roll. And if so, slight edge perhaps in here. Blissful Change in the second spot gets some class relief that I think will be beneficial. Had last been seen down in Kentucky, Keeneland and Churchill over the past couple of starts for Joe Sharp. Allowance Company, optional claiming company, wasn't in for the tag. Comes up for the conditional tag here, and I think that may be enough to kind of wake the horse up and get a better finishing performance. And then Translate in the third spot goes out for Rob Falcone, comes in from Santa Anita this winter, has Belmont starts and has run well here at Belmont, and again another one that class wise I think is making a move that is going to be right in the horse's wheelhouse. It was out in Southern California and some expensive starter allowances and was running well, but as I say, I think it's going to be maybe a little bit of a better fit with this group this afternoon. Belmont's fifth, 12, 10, 2, and 3. The sixth race today, maiden specials. This is a nice group. Now, they're maidens, but they aren't two-year-olds, but there are a lot of first-time starters in here, and there are horses with connections and breeding that say these horses may be ones to watch going forward. It's sixth is an interesting race. 8, 7, 6, and 4 for me. Accretive, I guess, because it is a Klarovich horse. So I'm assuming that's a financial term, maybe having to do with credit. It's not quite spelled that way, but I'll go with that for the moment. But again, it's Chad Brown's Klarovich. Practical Joke, the sire, so there's Win Early on top. There was a sibling called Saratoga Affair that also was a debut winner for Chad Brown. This is going back a couple of years, Gulfstream Park, 6 furlongs on the dirt, so I like that. The Win Early sibling for the trainer in a kind of a similar type of a race. So again, I thought there was a lot here to kind of point to the number 8 as being very live in the debut. Impulsiveness, debut runner for Todd Pletcher, paid over $250,000 for this horse. There's a sibling called Winter Pool, 7th in debut, but then won the second start, then a couple of second place finishes and another win. So 2 wins, 2 seconds in the first 5 starts. I thought there was Win Early for number 7, Impulsiveness. And then Southern Flag, this one, the Bill Mott runner, might wind up being the one to beat because there's no doubt experience counts. And this one has had 3 starts so far. They've all been pretty good. They've all had solid numbers attached to them. And they were all last year as a 3-year-old. So again, this is another one of those lightly raced 3-year-old, comes back now as a 4-year-old, potentially comes back improved. And if this horse comes back improved, given the numbers that he's already fired, again, Southern Flag may wind up being the one to beat. But I'll take a pop with a couple of intriguing firsters in what looks like a fun sixth race. I have it 8, 7, 6, and 4. Belmont, seventh race this afternoon. State bred optional claimers, non-winners of two other than is the condition. Six furlongs on the grass. 5, 7, 6, and 3. Deep cover, lightly raced New York bred for Tom Morley. Comes in off a couple of starts since coming back up to New York. After returning to the races, didn't leave New York, but started last year on the grass at Aqueduct, won in the career debut, then was on the dirt in January. And again, that may just have been one of those experiments. Hey, let's see, what we have and can we keep going this winter without turf racing. Wound up 8th that day. So again, then lays off until turf racing returns in April at Aqueduct, winds up 2nd in a non-winners of 1. And follows that up with a nice win. So 4 starts, couple of wins, second place finish, has shown plenty of talent. The last win, a lifetime best buyer number, just kind of points to this horse being very live in here. So I'll go deep cover on top. Phantom Smoke in the second spot. Nice win, 2 back to go through the non-winners of 1. Tried similar company last time and ran a near miss 2nd. That was in November, however. So the Christophe Clement runner is making the 4-year-old debut today. But again, another one of those that was lightly raced and now with a layoff has the potential to come back even better. And if this horse does come back better, becomes very dangerous in here. Panster in the third spot. Third start back this season. The first start back was pretty good. The follow-up maybe not so good. But another Christophe Clement runner. And it may just be one of those. First start very good, regressed a little bit, now moves forward. So I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Panster get it done in the 7th at Belmont, 5, 7, 6, and 3. Belmont and the 8th race is stakes action. It is the state bred Dancing Renee. These are fillies and mares, $100,000 up for grabs. They will go 3/4 of a mile. I have it 7, 6, 3, and 2. Bank Sting on top. She's a really nice runner. 7 wins and 11 career starts, over $500,000. So this is a bona fide New York bred stakes quality runner and been knocking heads with the New York breds and restricted company in a number of stakes throughout the career and has put some nice money in the bank. And that includes the last couple of starts here at Belmont. 4th in the Ruffian, but God bless him. New York bred step into that company, finishes 4th behind Search Results. Oh, and Lady Rocket, who we saw earlier. So, no shame there with the 4th place finish in the Ruffian. Gets back to State Bred Stakes Company last time and runs a decent 2nd behind Make Mischief, who's nice. So I'll look for Bank Sting to, get back on track in here. I think it is kind of a fun competitive field, though. Time limit, I think, is very playable. She faced open company last time at Pimlico and ran an okay 3rd. Getting back into state bred company, she could be very interesting because she's bounced back and forth state bred and open company and put together a nice resume herself. Secret Love in the 3rd spot goes out for John Kimmel. This one ran 4th in the Critical Eye. That's the race that last time Bank Sting ran 2nd in. But 2 starts back in an allowance event, an open company allowance event, had a nice win with a number that stacks up with this bunch. So going to put that one in as well. Bank Sting, though, just interested to see what she can do this afternoon. I think she's legit, but time limit, I think, is very playable. And I will say, I said competitive field. I think there are 2 or 3 or 4 others in here that if you look down the page on a best effort can get it done. So, again, for me, Bank Sting stands out a little bit, but not invincible by any means. 8th race at Belmont, 7, 6, 3, and 2. And the 9th and final on Sunday afternoon. State bred maiden 40 claimers going a mile on the grass. I have it 5, 9, 1, and 6. I'll put our Jessica on top, Dave Donk trainee. And Dave Donk's having a really nice Belmont meet. But this one has had 3 starts on the turf already since they've returned to turf in New York. The first start of the season, first turf start of the season. Pretty good second place finish with a number that stacks up with these. The two follow-ups, not so much. All of those were in Maine Special Company, though. And I think off the last couple of starts, they're just getting realistic and popping in for the 40 tag. So I think the move Maine Special Weight to Maiden Claiming, given what we've seen so far, is going to be beneficial and move this one forward. Our Jessica on top. Smoking Hot Kitty in the second spot. Lately raced Christophe Clement runner that is also making the Maiden Special Weight to Maiden Claiming move. Like the top pick, I think the first two starts of the career showed a little bit of promise, but a little bit of promise more at this level. And so I think they're just making the correct move. And Coupier, again, another one I'm guessing on the pronunciation, but the number one horse, Barkley Tag runner. First couple of starts were October and December, one of them down at Gulfstream, all in Maiden Special Company. Last time came back, again, in Maiden Special Company on June 4th, and again, ran seventh. So like the top two picks, this horse is firing numbers that I think are going to match with this crew pretty well, and that's the key. Another one going Maiden Special Weight to Maiden Claiming and doing so off of races that are probably competitive with this bunch. And again, I think all three of these horses have connections that are just kind of like being realistic and let's get to the level where we're going to be a little more competitive than we have been so far. And I think that's likely for these three. So in the ninth and final at Belmont today, 5, 9, 1, and 6. And as noted, I will be back in later this afternoon for live looks at all of that action. But now we'll take one more break. When we come back, as noted earlier, do have some news and notes from the past week that we can hit on and keep you up to date a little bit. So we'll take our last break of the hour. We will come back with more Racing Across America right after this.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Barbara. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrill in the studio, and as always, thanks for joining us. Last couple of days, the hearing panel that was impaneled to look at the Bob Baffert situation came out with their results. There was an administrative hearing that took place back in January. There was subsequently a report issued in April, and I believe that recommended a 2-year penalty for Bob Baffert in New York at the Naira tracks. Subsequently, to review that and make a final decision, a 3-member panel was put together. They had a 2-month review of the hearing report. And again, this past week, they came out with their decision, which, according to the press release, is final, takes effect immediately. They decided that Bob Baffert should, at Naira Tracks, get a 365 calendar day suspension. And they considered the 59 days that were served under the prior temporary suspension, as well as the 90-day suspension that was issued by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission and was reciprocally honored by New York State. So all that adds up to Bob Baffert will not be allowed to race at the NYRA tracks through January 25th, 2023. So that's the upshot of the Baffert situation in New York. Things are still going on in Kentucky as far as Baffert and the disqualification in the Kentucky Derby. But in New York, Bob Baffert now suspended through January 25th, 2023. And then I found it intriguing, TDN, Thoroughbred Daily News, there was a Bill Finley article just a couple of days ago, kind of subsequent to this. So Bob Baffert, the suspension news comes out, and then there's an article, again, Bill Finley wrote, is Rick Dutrow nearing a return? And boy, you kind of felt like it was almost the career death penalty for Rick Dutrow when they sent him away for 10 years. And I have mixed thoughts about it. I mean, he was in the middle of a controversial time when folks were, you know, looking at the whole situation, and he became kind of the poster boy. And so, again, I had mixed feelings about it, but I just found it funny because, you know, how time flies. He's getting close to the point where maybe he comes back, and his brother Tony Dutrow is quoted in the article. And again, it's worth maybe going back and taking a read, Thoroughbred Daily News, the Rick Dutrow article from just the other day by Bill Finley. But potentially the time frame says he could come back and resume training by mid-January of next year. Notable, though, he wasn't quoted in the article. I think Bill Finley notes that they contacted him, declined to be interviewed for the story. But his lawyer was, and his lawyer said that the situation was a revocation and not a suspension. And she makes the distinction in that a suspension is, it starts here and it ends here. So when the end date comes, you just jump back in, or can jump back in. A revocation, however, your license was revoked. So as the end of that period comes, I think as you get closer, you can then apply to get the license back. But you have to go through that process to get the license back. So we'll see. It's intriguing to see how that plays out with the Rick Dutrow situation. But I just thought the Baffert story, and then to read about Rick Dutrow is kind of interesting in the timing of it all. And I'm not saying there's anything nefarious, or it just seemed interesting the way that kind of played out. NYRA has announced a purse increase for the overnight races at Saratoga. I'm sure they're looking at some of those purses, which are inflated a little bit by, you know, Kentucky Development Fund that plays into the Kentucky breds in particular, down at Churchill, because their purses have been nuts. Oaklawn this winter had crazy purses, and of course Kentucky Downs just insane. So I'm sure there's a little bit of that playing into what they're thinking in New York, but they have kicked up their purses. Open second and third level allowance races will increase to $120,000 and $125,000. Those numbers are eye-popping, certainly. First level allowance, $115,000. New York bred allowance races will increase. A second level state bred allowance, $100,000. The past year or so, looking at Oakland, looking at Churchill, going back to the day, what you're doing is you're looking at purses and thinking, man, these are kind of stakes quality purses. This is kind of crazy. And it looks like on a day-to-day basis, we'll be seeing some of that up at Saratoga. So it'll be interesting to look in the PPs, look in the form, and check that purse out on a daily basis. And again, just kind of from being around as long as I have, looking at some of those and just marveling at them. Also notable the past week, Deshaun Parker, a name that, you know, if you've been around racing for a while, he's not a New York-based guy by any means, but if you watch racing, he is a veteran and venerable jockey, and he got his 6,000th career win this past week out at Horseshoe Indianapolis. 51 years old and became the 21st jockey to win 6,000 races in the history of thoroughbred racing in North America. And I mean, think about that, 6,000 races. And then I was interested just to see kind of where that sat and who else was on the list and whatnot. So he is currently sitting number 21 on the list. I pulled up the list from Equibase. And I would ask, I will momentarily quiz you, who's number one? Because I knew number one, but I was a fan when he was racing, and I'm curious now if fans in the past couple of years, if this is as notable a name. And I'm vamping here to give you a chance. Number one on the list. Number one on the list is Russell Bayes. And Deshaun Parker joins a select group at 6,000 wins. Russell Bayes, 12,842. Many, many of those in Northern California. And as I say, the name was an automatic for me because I remember when he was, you know, racking those numbers up. And so you saw the name very often for a while, but maybe not so much now for newer fans. But Russell Bayes at 12,800 and change. Second on the list, Lafitte Pincai at 9,500. So there's almost a 3,000 gap between one and two. But again, congratulations to Deshaun Parker. He's number 21 currently, but he's going to hit number 20 fairly soon because John Longden, who, and again, you look at this list now, and it's a select list, but it's a list that's always going to grow longer because it's a historic list. And racing is just different now than it was in the day when John Longden was running, so that he has hit that because, you know, there were different kinds of calendars, and so it was a little tougher to do it then. But John Longden is currently, when I pulled up the stats from last night, only 31 wins away from Deshaun Parker at number 20. So Deshaun Parker will hit 20 sooner rather than later, you will think. And he's, you know, within shouting distance of, you know, 16 and 17 perhaps. So we'll see. You know, I say shouting distance. To get up to 15, 16, 17, needs about 300 more victories. So you're chalking him up, no question about it. But he will definitely hit number 20, as I say, sooner rather than later. But quite an accomplishment. 6,000 career victories. It's just very good. And again, he's a guy, as I say, might not be totally familiar, but if you watch racing enough, you know him. He's more a mid-Atlantic or a mid-country kind of guy, winning a lot of his races, you know, outside of some of maybe the bigger venues. But again, if you watch racing enough, he's a name that's very familiar to you. And congratulations to Deshaun Parker on the career milestone this past week out at Horseshoe Indianapolis. All right, as noted, Dan from the control room brought me in. I said earlier, maybe take a look at, give you a little bit of a preview of some of the early stakes coming up. And Dan from the control room brought me in. I saw in the news this morning that they had announced the post times for Saratoga. Most days it's going to be 1:05. But there are, of course, the big days. Traverse Day, they're going to kick off at 11:30. There are a couple other big days where they'll kick off at about 12:30. You know, those will be Saturday big stakes days. But majority of the – so if you're going up on a big day, just double-check. And obviously, if you watch us, we will note earlier post times. But for most days, it's going to be 1:05. Also, always like to tout Nyrid – I made a great move a few years ago when they put out the season pass. If you're a guy or gal that goes to the track fairly regularly, take a look at the season pass. I mean, it's a great deal. That gets you in at it. Essentially, if you go, and you don't have to go a lot, but if you go a number of times, it's going to work out to your benefit to have a season pass. So check into that. And as I say, I pulled up the stakes schedule. We're less than 2 weeks away. Thursday, July 14th, we kick off. We're going to move our things from here up to our normal location by Clare Court. We're going to do that next week, the week of July 4th. So we may be light on our normal programming, although we will be doing a couple of test runs. Well, tests for us. There will be programs for you up there before the meet starts, so you can look for that. But we're going to head up, as I say, about a week or so. Thursday, July 14th, two-year-old fillies will kick it off in the Schuylerville. There's the Wilton for the three-year-old fillies on the dirt at a mile, and that's going to be opening day. That's going to be fun because that new mile shoot is going to be a puzzle that we're all going to have to solve from a handicapping perspective. It will be interesting over we won't be able to decide, I wouldn't think, the first one or two, but certainly once they race, you know, four or five or six races from there, get an idea if there's a real negative on maybe some of the outside post positions. And if you're not familiar, there is a new chute being built on the clubhouse turn that will essentially kind of make it a half turn there. It'll come out of the chute and catch the last half of that clubhouse turn. And it's, you know, over by the 1865 club, over where that they put in the picnic area, the tailgate area, which I think is still there. It's just been maybe moved a little bit. I got to get a better look. I've just looked through the fence a few times, and so it's hard to kind of determine. But it'll be fun, again, to kind of get a feel for it from a handicapping perspective, and we will get a chance with a stakes race on opening day out of the new one-mile chute. Friday, it's the Coronation Cup on the turf for the three-year-old fillies. The Forbidden Apple also on Friday, grade three event on the turf. And then the opening weekend, the grade one Diana on the turf for the fillies and mares. We also have the two-year-olds in the Sanford, and there have been some nice two-year-olds over the past couple of months that look to be headed towards that. Sunday, it's the quick call on the turf for three-year-olds, and that'll be your opening weekend. So it's a nice opening weekend featuring some two-year-olds, getting a look at that mile chute, which is going to be fun to see get debuted on opening day, and on grade as far as grade one action, the Diana on that first Saturday. So looking forward to it. As I say, you know, less than 3 weeks away. Very exciting. And in the meantime, again, still some nice racing to come down at Belmont, Churchill next week, to Stephen Foster. We will talk all about that as this next week progresses and we get into next weekend. Again, next weekend will kind of be our wrap up for programming here before we move up to Saratoga as next weekend winds up and we get into the holiday week. That's when we'll kind of be lugging the cameras and the mics and everything up to our Saratoga set. Looking forward to it. Always a lot of fun up at Saratoga. Live every morning on the backstretch. I'd like to push a little bit this year that you can catch us also streaming on YouTube because I don't think enough people are aware of that. I'd like to push it a little bit this year for people who come into town and enjoy us for 5 days and then think, how do I watch these guys? Well, when you go home, the morning programming is streamed live on our YouTube channel. And so it's a great way to keep up. If you know people who come to town and then leave town and would like to watch, or let's say you're taking a couple of weeks of vacation and you'd like to watch the morning programming from maybe the shore in Maine or wherever you may be headed to, again, you can pull us up on the YouTube channel live in the morning, live streaming of the programming. So you can catch all the great interviews we will be doing on the Saratoga backstretch, as we have for a number of years now. Happy to do it, and I think it's a great asset to the racing community up here because I say it all the time when I talk to people about doing this show. You know, the people I sit next to are just phenomenal, but we have all the best names in horse racing, a golf cart ride away, and they come zipping in the morning in their golf carts, hop out, and sit in next to me, and they are literally the biggest names in horse racing, trainers, jockeys, industry people, racing media people, and we will have much, much more of that in just a short time up at Saratoga, and we'll kick things off. Officially, that opening day, we'll kick things off, but as I say, we're looking to have one or two kind of test shows, maybe that Sunday before, maybe the day before opening day, Wednesday. But we'll just ring out the equipment on our end. But you will benefit by getting some live programming from Saratoga in a couple of days before the meet starts. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. And been a fun Sunday morning because it was a fun yesterday, stakes action-wise. So hopefully you had a great day yesterday and loaded your pockets. And the game plan is to do more of that today. I'll be back in, again, about an hour and a half or so to kick off OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. Don't forget, again, if you'd like to come down to the Clubhouse Racebook, we do have a couple of promotions today, the knockout promotion, the match bet promotion. You can come down and enjoy all the racing action and perhaps have a little extra fun with the two promotions here at the Clubhouse Racebook this Sunday afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm Seth Merrill. This has been Racing Across America. I appreciate your tuning in. I hope you will come back in about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.